Hi, welcome to GamerCast, episode 104. Better late than never.
I'm Paul, and we are the hosts of Gamer Noob, which is the newbie gamers cast.
Something.
We need to get noob worked in as much as possible in this episode.
We were out.
Get an epic car, you nub.
We were noob hunting on WoW, and we have been getting up many a level. I am still running in my dwarf armor, sweaty man with a beard, and everyone else has got a flipping horse, but I can't keep up. It's not fair. Well, you don't have a horse, you've got a big battle cat. You what would be really funny is someone to get like a character to have blonde hair, clean fade, blue eyes, and then get as minimal armor as possible and like some furry leather boots, and then get one of those and then ride around and pretend he's He-Man.
Yeah, the last thing we need is He-Man prancing around.
Yeah. By the power of Grayskull. We
missed last week because I decided to skive off because I wasn't feeling 100%.
Yeah, and
plus we could play WoW.
Yeah, so we were playing WoW instead, as well as the fact that other people wanted to play WoW in the house, and the other computers are in here, so we wouldn't be able to record without you having to listen to everyone else playing WoW. So.
And Adam was getting drunk yesterday or something.
I didn't drink. I had a beer or two, but I was on the bike, so I couldn't drink. But we had friends who came over from Canada to see us, so it was a big kind of like get together at the pub.
So that's why this is on Monday, not yesterday.
Yeah, and then the week before, we pulled it off and then went on to Monday. Then you weren't feeling well, so we moved it on to the next day, and so on and so forth, and it kind of snowballed. And yay, fun.
We put it back to Monday, and on Monday I still felt crap. And everybody just wanted to play WoW around here, so I said, let's just do it next week. And then
WoW.
We couldn't do it next week, because Adam was doing the thing on Sunday. So that's why episode 104 is released today, on the 28th of January.
Yes. We have something to talk about, as usual. Great. Nice. Noob.
Noob Hunter.
Nub Hunter.
Right.
Right, let's kick off with the letters.
We have letters, thank you.
We actually have some, which is the first we've got since the 2nd of January. About bloody time. Anyway, this is from Oxlow, a.k.a. Matt Windsor. He says, hope you're feeling better this week, Paul. No, not really. Oh, I just wondered what you guys have heard and think of the newly released, Wolfdale Processor. E8000 series. To be honest, I don't know, because I'm not going to buy it. At least not yet.
Yeah.
This is the new Intel Core 2 processor.
Sweet.
I think this is the 45 nanometer release, but don't quote me on that. Does it say? Let's have a look on this article. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't say. But these might be the 45 nanometer ones, because at the moment they're 65 nanometer chips. Mm. So this might be the new ones, but they might not be. So who knows?
Have to wait and see.
Or just actually do some research, but whatever.
Yeah.
We also got one from Killy Pants. That's the bloke in the Mafia. Howdy guys, long time no speak. Anyway, a few days ago I was rummaging through my closet and found an old joystick and throttle, which brought me back to the days of Microsoft Combat Flight Simulator 2 and 3, of which I own both.
Mm-hmm.
I've re-sparked an interest in the genre and was wondering if there are any good, hell, even decent combat flight sims on the PC currently. The answer is no.
Mm.
There was a game released like 2, maybe 3 years ago, which was a modern flight simulator, but it was really simulation and it was really buggy and it just sort of disappeared. And I've forgotten what it was called.
Because I must have been kind of looking to see if Microsoft were going to do another combat flight simulator using the Flight Simulator 10 engine.
Well, I suspect they'll do another game like that eventually.
But,
because after all, they're doing train simulator.
Yeah.
I think there's more demand for a combat flight simulator than a train sim. No offense, train fans.
I think it's at the moment.
Because Train Sim 1 wasn't that good.
There's a lot of space simulator style games coming out lately in comparison to that.
Like what?
I'm trying to think of.
I'm trying to think of one. Let me think.
No, I can think. I know what they are, I just can't think of the blasted names. The ones that are like X3 and stuff, and X2.
X3 came out ages ago.
Yeah, but I mean, in that sort of style, there's been a few things. But I must admit, the genres have been taking a bit of a walloping. Like, before, there's always been loads of platforming games, but lately they've been sucking and not been out as much. The genres have changed a lot more. I think with massive multiplayer online games being a large hit, has taken a few people away.
That was what I was thinking of. Lock on Modern Air Combat. That was a fairly recent release. Although I thought it was kind of buggy and stuff. That was released in 2003, so even that is like quite old. But that's a modern aircraft game. But you can fly in like MiG-29, 29, SU-27, 33, 25, and the German MiG-29 as well.
Cool. But yeah, the flight simulator is not the sort of thing you need to be buggy. Yeah, find yourself upside down in a field before you know. So what other layers we got?
So the thing is, it really needs to kickstart the genre. And the trouble is with PC gaming nowadays is there isn't as much money to be made in it. Because all the newbie PC gamers now don't like flight simulators.
Yeah.
They like their shooting games.
I think it's every generation genres end up with a favourite. First-person shooters are always...
Well, the thing is, I've always been a first-person shooter fan, but I've always had the combat flight simulators and the flight simulators and all that sort of stuff. Because, you know, sometimes I just feel like playing something a bit different.
As I mentioned, I've got a wide selection of different PC games and console games.
Because, you know, if you think back in the good old days of, you know, Quake 1 and Quake 2, when PC gaming was really starting to, like, get onto the internet, it was really huge. You know, all the PC gamers played those games, but they also played everything else out there as well.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, I don't think people just don't play anymore.
I think because the online community has changed a lot more since those days, that everybody's come from playing Quake. I must admit, the first game I played en masse was playing Quake 2 networked on LAN battles. Bar that,
I used to kill everyone.
Jedi Knight 2 online, MechWarrior 3 online. You know, that was probably my limit. And TIE Fighter. No, it wasn't TIE Fighter. I had TIE Fighter. It was
screw TIE Fighter. Free space for the win.
X-Wing Alliance and stuff
free
like that.
Free space for the win.
But now the community, everybody's come from those, but now, you know, people are playing WoW and they're Halo and, you know, Team Fortress 2 and many other things that...
I haven't played Team Fortress 2 since, like, October.
No, I haven't played mine.
No, I lie, I haven't played it since September.
I did have a good bash, and the last time I played it, the servers were really working well and people's connections were good. I'm stuck on Half-Life at the moment.
I've not played that either.
I'm trying to get past where I'd actually got stuck to the first time. I'm determined to complete it and then do episode 1 and then episode 2.
So yeah, other than Lock on Modern Air Combat, and you know, the obvious stuff like Falcon F, whatever it was, Falcon 4, which was a fairly big release a few years back as well. When was that? Oh god, that was 98 now.
Yeah, I remember always having, my favourite one I had was Eurofighter. That was good.
Well, one game I had on the Archimedes was Birds of War, and that was the kick-ass one, because it was World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, and modern as well. And it was really good, because it was a good mix of aircraft. You know, you could start off, if you wanted to, doing the World War One planes, which are really easy to fly, and then work your way up. But yeah, that was a really good game, Birds of War, which is actually up there. See?
Oh, yeah. Cool. and your mountain of boxes.
And of course, Starfighter 3000, which rocked a Drifter and Cyber Chess. Or is that Battle Chess? I can't remember. Some old school.
Oh, Alien vs. Predator. Oh, I've watched.
Yeah, I bought Alien vs. Predator 2. It's cheap. I've got MiG-29 and F-16 up there as well.
I've seen the new movie now.
What movie?
Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
Oh, that, is it going to be any good, do you think?
I watched it on Pirate.
Was it a good copy?
No, and it scared the crap out of me because of this really tense moment, and I'm sat there in the dark in my in the den on my PC watching it. And
don't get scared. What has this got to do with Killy Pants Mafia?
No, I'm going off on a tangent. I need to go off on a tangent. And
we've still got more letters to go, yeah?
And
keep that in mind.
As I was watching it, all of a sudden, I heard a cough and I realised someone was in the flat and I knew I was by myself and it scared the crap out of me. And then I rewound it and realised that it was someone in the cinema coughing.
Nah, pooned.
And now and again you heard these giggles at really funny bits. There were some bits that you had to laugh at. They're not supposed to be funny, but it was.
Is it better than the last one? Because the last one, the first one, wasn't very good.
No, and to be honest, it was.
Let's
kind of
be honest. Okay, it's cool that you've got aliens and predators around,
and it's
but it's lame
pod.
That it's underground in this skanky-looking place and not a cool spaceship. Or something.
See, the advantages with this one was the fact that you got to see more of the predators and what they do, and you actually did get to see one of their home planets. There aren't shitloads of predators. There's actually only one in it. And loads of aliens, and it's outdoors, and the aliens are climbing all over the place, and it's pretty cool in that sense.
Is it in a jungle with miniguns?
It's in a forest. And
plus one.
The predator.
One predator plus two.
Also, he finds a spare shoulder rifle, so he ends up with two shoulder rifles.
Plus three.
And also, he gets both of them damaged and ends up having to take the spare parts, and he makes his own shotgun that fires the pulse thingy with it, and he ends up having to not use his targeting thing, and he has to do it all by aim.
Oh, that's good. That sounds good. That sounds
so
much better.
As a Predator fan, it was really good. Alien fan, I liked some really quirky twists, but they're just there.
Are there any humans in it?
Yeah, shitloads of humans get killed to create the alien population. It wasn't like last time where there was only a few aliens, and you kept seeing the same ones pop up.
So it's basically millions of aliens and one Predator, which is how it should be. Because let's face it, an alien wouldn't stand a chance versus a predator. Unlike in the first film, where it was like, you know, they can almost, you know, either one can win, which is unrealistic. Because it's a flipping alien. If you play Alien versus Predator the game, the aliens suck.
Yeah.
The only reason they're balanced in the game,
they're on mass,
is because they're really fast and, you know, the predators are really crap.
But yeah, I did like it. It is quite good. Obviously, there's the video game that's out on the PSP that I've read a review on, and some people said if you're fans of the series, then you'll like it, but not amazingly great game. Film's quite good. I wouldn't pay to go to the cinema unless it was, like, cheap.
But it's worth downloading.
Yeah, it's worth
and
downloading.
And stealing.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, okay.
Because of how bad the other one. I own the other one and I watch it just for watching Aliens and Predators. I don't watch it for any great cinematic greatness because I've read the comic books and the novels for it, and the first one is based off the comic book, but it's completely wrong. For a start, it doesn't happen on Earth. Second, it happens in a time period roughly to like Aliens time period. And the girl, it's the same girl, but she's Japanese in it instead of black, which doesn't make any difference. But at the end of it, instead of her standing there and looking like a right dick stood in the middle of Antarctica, the planet she's on where the whole incident happens in the comic books, she stays there until they come back to hunt again, and she ends up joining him. And the second Alien vs. Predator is about her reconnecting her life back to humanity because she spent so long living with the predators and hunting with them. And that was really great. And when they said they were doing Alien vs. Predator,
that was really good.
Alien vs. Predator, I was like, shit, oh my god, this is going to be the best film ever. And then found out that it's on there. Fair enough, they had to make the connection with Alien with the whole Waylon Smithers. And I won't spoil it, but at the end of this film, it makes a connection about how Aliens films move on with it. So it's got some nice little things in it, and it's worth watching. But my god, they really need to shoot the writers. But that's my tangent gone. But yeah, good. Go watch it.
Right, so we kind of answered Killy Pan's Mafia there.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, Bobman replies a bit to Killy Pants. He says, flight simulators are IMO generally good in one area but lacking in others. For example, controls are good but graphics are not quite so good. Oh, that reminds me, there's this Thermodic series as well that was quite popular, if you haven't played them.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft Combat Flight Simulator is right up there and I think it's the best trade-off between controls and graphics. Battle Britain was okay, it lacks multiplayer stability, didn't turn you off from the game, and a personal favourite was Blazing Angels. So I think, like, those sort of games are crap.
I think it's personal feeling
for flight simulators. I prefer simulators.
When you play a flight simulator, everything's down to the detail. And I must admit, with Flight Simulator 10, from playing your copy, it's like it looks absolutely amazing. But yet,
what? I gave you a copy of 10?
No, you let me play on your copy here.
I was like, what? I gave you my... Because that game's got activation. I was like, what? I let him activate my copy.
But yeah, it's... It's all great, but because you're flying there, it's like you want to look at the scenery, and the scenery is looking much, much better, but they haven't yet got it 100%, because the world is such a big...
A big place.
Yeah.
Well, let's also be clear with Flight Simulator. They could do a lot more graphics-wise, because Flight Simulator isn't GPU-limited, it's CPU-limited.
Yeah. But then if you look at, like, a combat flight
simulator... So there's two ways they can go. They can either reduce the amount of simulation going on, the physics calculation, all the AI stuff going on in the world, and, you know, concentrate on the graphics side.
Mm.
You know, you have to...
But then you look at a combat flight simulator, you're not that fussed about the ground because you're too busy. The interesting bit is up in the sky, looking for other planes and dogfighting and going past...
Looking for some bombers to rip apart.
Yeah. So, because you're having to interact with something in the sky...
I'm going to install Combat Flight Simulator 3 now. I want to hear bullets hitting my aircraft again. I want to hear the wind rustling in through the big hole in my aircraft.
Yeah. Yeah, I must admit, there's some good ones.
So, yeah, he says Blazing Angels was literally a port straight from the console to the PC. He also said he would try and join the live show today, which was yesterday.
Yeah.
And he then followed up on that with a post in the forums saying, I come back to get a live show and wait for ages and nothing turns up. No mention of any foreseen troubles in last week's show. Maybe there's not enough news. I even went to the trouble of downloading the show on a Mac, for fuck's sake. Sheesh.
Major apologies.
Well, yeah, why would downloading it on a Mac do anything? If anything, it'll be less likely to work because I'll block out all the Mac headers, and then I'll just block it on the server. Sorry, you need Linux or Windows to get this shit.
Yeah, I played Blazing Angels.
Or even a PSP.
Blazing Angels on the Xbox.
Yeah, it's crap.
My dad's got it.
It's a lame arcade game.
Mm. It's all right for being World War II, playing, going around shooting stuff, but as a flight simulator, no, it's just...
Well, World War II boring. Can we have World War One stuff? Because World War One stuff is really cool.
Mm.
You're in this plane, which almost flies, and you drop the bombs over the side yourself.
Right.
And then you shoot the gun and it blows half your propeller.
Actually, there was something I wanted to talk about last week, which I'll talk about now, so you might have to edit the show notes as I thought.
So yeah, anyway, thank you for the letters, everyone. We appreciate getting feedback on the blog, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Right, so what do you have to say? What do I have to edit here?
Warhammer Online.
Boring.
Yeah. Not going to talk too much about it, but one of my mates is going, oh my god, he's got fed up with WoW and he's ended up deleting his character. He's completely taken up his life and decided to delete it. And he was looking into Warhammer Online and started looking at the website and looking at the notes of things they're doing with it. He's been bugging me to go look at it, and it wasn't until... I picked up a latest copy of PC Gamer, and they've got an article for some of the latest Games Workshop video games coming out, like the new Dawn of War, which I talked about, the expansion pack to Mark of Chaos on the PC, and also Warhammer Online. Went on the website and had a look at it, and I must admit, I'm extremely impressed, especially the fact that Warhammer does have around about 25 years of content of characters, races, and events that have gone on. It's a lot to put in a video game, and they've done very well in putting a limited amount without annoying anybody. There's only 6 races playable, 3 for each side, and that's for now. They're making good detail on those, and then they'll add more. So you get like the humans with the Empire, high elves and dwarves, and then for the baddies you get dark elves, green skins and chaos. Obviously green skins apply with orcs and goblins, but each you can't play as like a more of a warrior style class as a goblin. You'd play as a shaman or a glorps hoarder bloke, who wears basically those little red creatures with the big teeth and the feet, and you herd those around and send them at people, and then you shoot arrows. So it's a bit like being a hunter, but on match you get more of them. A lot of what they're saying with this, and the review on the PC Gamer, they're saying that a lot of what makes WoW WoW, they're doing in this.
So in other words, they're copying WoW?
Not really. It's more in the sense of the things that WoW do, other online gamers do. They're making sure that they don't go so different. They're doing what people want. So ability to do PvP, quests, and things like that. But one thing they are trying to do, you get people who are questers, you know, they'll go through the whole game just doing quests. They won't play PvP, they won't do this, they won't do that. One of the big deals about Warhammer is that a little bit like what they did on WoW only once, which was as you were going around, you could collect leather, you could collect flowers, and you could collect metals and stuff for the big war effort, which was just one thing
for
that
the war effort,
which they only had on
for
once.
The War Chief.
But this time around, it's like you'll do a quest, and this quest will gain points for the goodies side on that server. And these will help people who are doing PvP, and you can end up doing these battles where you will raid this tower, and you end up getting that bit of ground, and you're having a battle with other people. And once you've got it, if you're in a guild, because you have to be a guild to do this bit, your banner of your guild drapes over the battlements, and you end up getting guards on your side. So when you log out and some other guild comes along and goes, right, we're raiding this place and we're going to take it, you have men that defend it and stuff. And there's major amount of detail of how they're going about changing a lot of the content and how it interacts with each other between PvP, raids, instances, dungeons and quests. You all get this point system that all goes towards the bigger effort. So you doing a small thing helps other people do a larger thing later on. It's a cap level 40. They're trying to emphasize a way around people having to level up so much. The other thing is there is no like epic armor and stuff like that. You could be stood there wearing...
Get an epic car, you knob.
You could be wearing stuff that you were wearing halfway through the game, and you'd end up wearing it for the rest of the game, because you get like tokens and things of your achievements, and you paint your armor and change it. So you wear your armor how you want to look, but it changes as your experiences go along. So you look at someone else's armor, and you go, oh my god, you've got it all striped down like that because you were at that battle and at that war that happened, and you're not stood there at this final battle at level 40 and everybody who's the same class as you is wearing the same armor as you. It's completely the other way around. One thing that does is pretty cool is the people change as you go along. So like the greenskins, orcs, as they get older in the storyline of
their teeth fall out,
their teeth grow longer, their eyes go like this darker red, and their skin goes dark green to the point it eventually become black. As you level up, your character physically changes. Dwarves, their beards get longer. Chaos, they become more mutated. And each
humans
class,
get crippled and need a walking
it's super friendly, yeah, and it's kind of like each class will look different, so you won't be stood there next, like when you play WoW, and say for a mistake, you're a warrior and a shaman, it's only the clothes and your abilities that define you, where you will look slightly different, especially with Chaos. Chaos, they will look completely different depending on which way you go. The same with greenskins, because if you went to a different way, you'd be a goblin, one way you'd be an orc. And it all completely changes around that aspect. So it makes everybody an individual, but at the same time, if you're a warrior style orc and your mate's a warrior style orc, you'll have different armor and it'll be tokened with different things of your achievements and stuff. So
basically they're trying to deal with all the flaws in WoW.
Yeah.
In that you've got extremely limited customization when you start a character, and once you've done that, it's fixed forever. Although the new expansion pack may allow you to trim your hair and stuff.
Yeah. Where this is, your character will evolve as it moves along, and scars and things. And
well, it's an obvious thing to do to.
But to, the same thing is
make exploit one of WoW's greatest weaknesses.
But the other thing is, WoW, it was an RTS game, and for it to grab a lot of role playing, it had to look and aspire to other tabletop games that are out there, like Dungeons and Dragons and Warhammer. And because this is content that is from a great storyline of books and characters, but essentially it is a role-playing tabletop game, it grasps a lot from its own place to be able to create all of these things. Now, it's not going to be having a lot of the same rule system as Warhammer, so it's not going to be like, oh my god, well, I didn't like playing WoW. I thought it was really cool, but I was crap at playing it, so obviously I'm going to be great at WoW, but I'm not going to be any good at Warhammer, because tabletop Warhammer I was rubbish at. It's just going to be the same style MMO sort of thing, but it's got more of a realistic look. I must admit, when looking at it, it seems more like how Oblivion looks compared to WoW.
Oblivion, there's a good game. Now, yeah. If only they'd fix the goddamn flaws in Oblivion.
But yeah, show the website after the show, but it's got more of an Oblivion Warhammer look than WoW does. I still like WoW. WoW's got a really quirky
kind WoW's of WoW's like, got the Warcraft 3 look about it.
Yeah, and that's what really makes it stand out, and that's why I like it. Aesthetically, WoW looks absolutely amazing. And I find it hard to go to
stuff like... I wouldn't go that far. I think WoW looks dated.
Yeah.
The textures are worse than in Quake 3.
It's a shame they've got no way at one point of making a new expansion pack and basically for free updating the whole content. But it would be a massive amount of effort to rebuild everything to be new.
Well,
graphics.
The thing is, even if they just worked on the textures, I think that would help a lot.
Yeah. But
and they probably have higher resolution versions of the textures anyway, because they probably made them higher resolution and then they scaled them down for the game.
Yeah.
To make use of all those shitty 32 megabyte graphics cards.
If everyone can play it, then there's more money in the pocket at the end of the day.
Yeah, but there's no reason why you shouldn't have it scale up as well.
Yeah, but no, I'm quite impressed with this. They've got some really good. There's a beta test going on at the moment, and also there is, because there's an American website and the UK website. I think it's WarEurope.com or something like that for the European one. But it is looking quite good. It's got the feeling that if you know anything about the history of Warhammer. The content that they're showing you so far makes you realise that once this gets going, there are going to be expansion packs, there are going to be new races introduced, because there are so many other races that you can play at. Because I must admit, for bad guys, it's kind of like one of the ultimate ones we've been playing would be the vampire clans, and having all of your undead and skeleton warriors and stuff like that, as well as the Skaven. But
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Skaven are like rats sort of characters.
Rats.
Yeah, but they're humanoid. They're very quite large.
What, like that bloke in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No, they look a lot more. They've got like these really blood red eyes and stuff. But that was the other thing.
Bloke.
Quests actually interact with other things that are going on. Like you would be doing this orc quest where you're trying to collect barrels to get this giant drunk and trying to coerce him into going to this village and basically causing a ruckus, and that's the quest of what you're doing, and other people can join in on this quest, and this quest is active. But at the same time, some other people who are dwarves are doing this other quest, trying to collect all this wood to build these siege weapons, so when they do succeed in this quest and the guy comes in, all depending on who wins the quest would be on the fact of this giant comes in, the dwarf's got the siege weapons ready, boom, not the dwarf clean out, the giant clean out, and the orcs don't win their quest sort of thing. So quests actually are kind of like PvE battles against each other. So you're doing these quests to make this event actually happen, and the points of that. The other thing is cities can be overrun as well, so cities can actually change hands and actually look different as they move.
Oh, that's good.
So it's not static content. Everything moves.
So when my guild takes over Stormwind, we can claim it as Horde territory.
Yeah, it's got that. You can't take over the starting
my
places.
My guild
but
of no members, because I haven't set it up yet, because my Tauren bloke only has like 16 silver.
But yeah, no.
Donations welcome.
No, I'm quite liking what they're doing so far. you know, I must admit, out of ownership, I've got WoW, City Heroes, and Star Wars Galaxies, and the other two I haven't played for a while, but they're always there, and I must admit, after a while, you do get bored of the content of one, and you step away from it a while, and you go play something else. It's like you're playing WoW, and I'm forever trying to get a mount, and I'm running everywhere. Go play City Heroes, and I'm like, geez, I can teleport halfway across the map. Oh, play this other character. Yeah, I can run at super speed and jump a building, and I can jump from building to building, and it's like, wow, yeah. And then you go back to playing WoW, and it's like, oh my god, I just forget how cool looking this place is and all the different things I can do and stuff. So, yeah, you jump backwards and forwards, and this looks like, for me, one of the ones I'm going to start jumping onto, and it's kind of like, you know, I'm quite impressed. And I'm a big fan of Warhammer as well, and I was a big fan of Warhammer 40k, but this is kind of like their past for that storyline, so I'm very intrigued by it. And the thing is, I do like orcs, but I've never liked the look of Warcraft orcs. I've always liked Warhammer orcs because they've got really stout noses and they've got massive big jaws and they're very gaunt, and the fact that jaws poke forward and the teeth just stick up like that, and it's just a whole human. And they've just
right, okay, human.
It's just something about it, and the pictures of the orcs just look absolutely amazing in this armor, and they've got like the armor that comes down to the face, and they've got armor that comes around their jaws, and they just kind of redesign themselves and bolt bits on. And I must admit, I think the first character match you're going to play as is either going to be a dwarf or an orc, and most likely be an orc.
Right. Let's get on with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Actually our first item, which was originally on the show notes. We're going to say now because this is the news section of the show.
Yeah.
You've been inserting things into like the review section or preview section. Anyway, few news items. Xbox 360 has record attach rate, with the average 360 person earning 7 games per unit.
I remember, you've got shitloads, didn't you?
Yeah.
Over 2 hands worth.
Yeah, probably over maybe 15.
Mine would stack about that far.
So yeah, last year the average was 5.3 software titles. So yeah, they claim that's a record of any console, which doesn't seem too hard to believe. Nintendo have also added the Master System to their virtual Wii console type thing.
Yeah.
Along with Game Gear and Sega Mark III titles, whatever Sega Mark III is. What's that?
I have a clue. Oh, I've got Emma.
Japanese consumers will soon be able to choose titles that grace Sega's late 80s home console, with the first two titles confirmed as Fist of the North Star and Fantasy Zone.
Cool. They are pushing out a lot of content.
Sega Mark III, a console that was only released in Japan, that console.
Yeah. No, that's quite good that they bring out the content. I must admit, one thing that really does annoy me about the Wii download system is the fact that you cannot get demos.
Last November, Nintendo revealed that the service had generated $33 million US dollars in sales, with over 7.8 million items downloaded.
Mm. It is quite good for the fact you've just got this barrage of TVs and you just click on one, swing the controller around to the side, or grab the virtual controller and you can just play any game you want. But I must admit, it's pretty cool. The other great thing about it is some games that don't have save capabilities in, if you actually leave the game, when you go back in, it's actually sat where it was. It's like you leave the console turned on, and you actually have to hit the reset button to go straight back to the menu system. So you can be playing Sonic, press the home button, say yes, go back, come back in, and it's sat there, you unpause, and you carry on playing Sonic where you left off. So I must admit, that's one feature I did like, is allowing you to be able to leave your consoles on while you turn your main console off, because it's a virtual machine.
Yeah, another news item related to the Wii is apparently plans by the Department of Health to introduce Wii consoles in schools to help prevent obesity have been doing the rounds lately, and one campaigner has just branded it as a gimmick.
I must admit, kids don't,
because hang on a minute, there was a study a few months ago I read which said the Wii only like uses like 1.6% more calories than playing on any other console.
Mm. It depends on the
type
of game.
So a lot of it is hype, and I don't think it is actually.
It all depends on the game. It's like, you can play bowling and it's really simple and you're just moving about, but you watch somebody playing a first person shooter, they're really getting avid. You're moving about, you're twitching.
Oh, I'm like that on the PC.
Yeah.
Take that German kid who was spaz in Unreal Tournament.
God, how many calories did he burn off? But it's kind of like you play boxing or something like that. It's more physical if you're trying to do the animation.
No way, man. My fingers use much energy.
But yeah, it's like the Wii Fitness and stuff like that's coming out. I think they're just looking around the idea of the fact that they're being able to play video games, but they're doing the whole entire video game experience, majority of the time, stood up.
Yeah, so this is what Nick Seaton, I'm reading this off the games industry website. Nick Seaton, chairman of the Campaign for Real Education, has blasted the idea, saying students would be better off taking part in competitive sports rather than playing consoles during school time. Mm. It looks like another gimmick, expanding to the views of the physically idle. Pupils are blah, 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 blah. However, the government has encouraged by the trial scheme, which sees it as an innovative way of promoting healthy lifestyles to students. So yeah, the government should do whatever works. And if they have data which says it's effective, then do it.
Fair enough. If you've got stuff like they're putting Wii Sports on there and like the new Wii Fitness where you're having to do push-ups and, you know, stuff like that, and they're getting them through video games intrigued into sports, and then they use that as a link to get them outside playing sports, then I think it's a good idea. But unless you're doing something close to that, they're just playing video games and it just happened to be one of the only consoles where you stand up when you play video games. Okay, fair enough, if you had a whole entire school and they all had a PlayStation and a little mini portable TV, and you had every kid with their own portable TV, and they all press start on a dance mat at the same time, and you've got them playing a dance mat for 3 hours on hard, you will knacker out every child and get them fit, but not every game
will
do that.
Well, the thing is, the trouble is, this will be prohibitively expensive to actually roll out in any significant fashion.
Yeah.
And the only real use I can see for it would be for when they can't do PE outside because of, you know, the pitch is a quagmire.
Yeah, indoor sport.
And instead of just sitting around indoors, because maybe the, you know, the sports hall's already in use by another class.
Yeah.
You've got another room where, you know, it's better than just sitting around bored for an hour.
Yeah, keep them entertained. It stops them from making mischief. Yeah.
Although personally, I would like to see different. I think computers definitely have a role to play in this sort of thing, but I don't think the Wii is optimised for it. Mm. And the government would be best off getting some engineers and people actually working on a computer system to do this specifically.
You know, something
rather than just actually having a games console, because a lot of the public will, you know, rally against that.
Yeah, you want something that's kind of like those virtual golf
because
games.
You know what the headlines in the Sun newspaper would be? Government spends $2 billion giving schools free game consoles.
Yeah. You want to have something where it's virtual sports, where they haven't got the ability or the things to have them in, and you...
No, what you need to do is a giant hamster ball surrounded with screens, and then they can just be in the hamster ball.
You just want to have hamster balls in that and run around. It's like gladiators.
Yeah, that'd be good. That would be.
They want to have mini gladiators at school, and then it'll just be like... That'd be like the coolest.
That'd be good, that would be.
Mini gladiators.
Yeah, except all the newbie kids get pwned.
Yeah.
Noob, get yourself an epic ball, you nub.
Wallop. Yeah, get yourself an epic pugil stick.
Anyway, also in the news, EA have launched play for free strategy with Battlefield Heroes. So basically what they're doing, if everybody recalls Battlefield 2142, they had adverts in the game.
Yeah.
So what they're doing now is Battlefield Heroes, which I don't know anything about, will be released later this summer, and it'll be like downloadable for free. Mm. And it'll be paid for by in-game advertisements. So, you know, you're walking around in the map and there's a billboard there with an advert for Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I'll send the bill to Coca-Cola for that.
You do that.
I'll just have a look at the website, which is battlefield-heroes.com. So it looks like Team Fortress 2 style.
Yeah.
And that it's got like crazy look to it.
Oh, it's on the Games for Windows. Yeah, it's got like the
be
real
interesting,
chisel draw.
But it looks like they've tried to dumb it down so they get nubs playing it.
Yeah.
Instead of hardcore Battlefield players like me with our epic gun.
In some respects, you could call it my first Battlefield.
No, in some ways you could call it Battlefield Noob Edition.
Yeah.
Get yourself a proper game, you nub.
My first Battlefield.
Pay for a game, you nub.
You've got noobs and small school children that are, it's their first time playing Battlefield. So the dads are bringing them onto the Battlefield, kind of like, yeah, this is how you play Battlefield. When you've got the hang of this, we'll get you Battlefield 2142. And the rest of them are kind of like these 40-year-olds who are just completely nuts noobs who can't play Battlefield to save their life. And they're like, yay, I killed a 2-year-old.
Get yourself a proper game, you nub. Get yourself an... Look, man, this box is purple. Get yourself an epic game box, not some download thing. Right, anyway, Adam wanted to talk about Squad Commander, whatever that is, and this is our review thing or something.
Yeah.
So that's the news over and done with. Now we let Adam talk about some nonsense for 20 minutes.
Yeah, Squad Commander, Warhammer 40,000.
Oh, game. Warhammer again? Oh, dude.
Dude, this is released on
half of this show is fucking Warhammer.
Well, normally it's WoW, so
I know what WoW is, though.
But yeah, this is out on the DS.
I've got Warhammer installed,
and
because I had some Warhammer games.
Oh, this is PSP and DS. I've got it on the PSP. It's very similar controls to the tabletop in the sense of you pull like a line of where your character from the squad goes, similar to the RTS games that are out for Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War series. This is using more the tabletop type strategy where it's turn based. You take each player takes in turn to move their characters around, running off a system of action points. Now your action points can be used for movement or for shooting. Each weapon uses up so much minimum action points, like a bolter will use 4 action points to fire once, but then you can use 8 action points and fire twice. So as you move through it, it changes your different weapons, your war gear you can put on. It is basically the Ultramarines versus the Chaos. You have everything from scouts up to Marines, heroes.
Up to nubs.
You get Dreadnoughts and tanks and stuff. And it's just holding just one squad together, moving them around the map, taking out the Chaos as you go along.
You call that a ride, you noob!
I must admit, I quite like it because it's very similar with the fact you've got that field of view, bit like when you're like playing a tabletop of like the spread of where the bullet fire will go to. And you also, when you come to the end, you've got enough points to do one last shot. You, instead of shooting, you can actually move your field of view to a certain point. So if anybody on their turn steps into that field of view, that Marine will return fire. You can have up to 2 weapons, like a Marine could have like a plasma gun or a buzzsaw, and no, a chainsaw, sorry. And you can kind of like move the character around and go close combat, or you can stay further away and shoot. And I must say the AI is pretty good. I've been going in guns blazing and they come in and shoot me lots of times, but I'm being shot lots of times by multiple characters, and then they've got enough action points to move out of the way so I can't get at them. Strategically, I'm stuck on this level. I'm trying to blow up this Chaos antenna base thing, and they just keep coming at me, and it's very addictive. It is possible to get hold of the demo for the PSP, so you can load it onto your stick and have a go at one of the levels, where you do get to have a go with a squad of Space Marines and a Dreadnought. It's quite simple, and it is just kind of like quite an addictive game to play. It's the sort of thing where you can just play it and you can save at any point to stop, and you know, you're on the train and you just wanted to play it for a few moments and get it just a little bit further. The other thing is, you know, it's the sort of game you can play on the move because it's turn based. You take your turn, you take it as you want. You've got all the time in the world to strategically move your pieces around and then attack. Excuse me. It was a bit expensive. I saw it in game, and it was $34.99. I went and picked my copy up from HMV for £29. But I would say one thing: definitely go take a chance to play the demo version, because it's a different style of type of gameplay, and it might not necessarily appeal to everybody, so it's one of those ones where you're just going to have to give it a go. If you're much of a tabletop fan, you're most likely going to love this game, but if you're an RTS fan, you might find that because it's turn-based, you might get a little bit frustrated on the speed of the gameplay. But it has a good map system that allows you to find where people are as a system of fog of war, as well as that you can use that map to be able to see everything when you're watching the opposition go around and move around their pieces around to attack you. I must admit, I'm quite impressed with it. Would you want me to do the score out of 10?
Out of 5, please.
Out of 5. The demo was enough to make me want to spend money on this game, and I would play it all day at work. For a PSP game, and look, we're just talking PSP, I would definitely probably give it 4 out of 5. As a general game in the world, I'd give it a 2. Because there are much, much better games out there.
Get an epic sword, you knob!
But as a Warhammer game, I'd say it's a good, simple, fun, dumbed-down version of an RTS of Dawn of War. If you like Dawn of War and you do play as the Marines,
Dawn of Monkey,
you may like this. If you've never played one before and you're a Warhammer 40k fan and you found RTS is too hard, but you would love to be able to play this game, but you're
RTS is too hard, if anything they're too easy,
you know what I mean. Some people just don't click to them, and you prefer slap them because they're noobs and they need RTS in their life. But if you're more of a
get yourself a real time strategy game, you knob.
But if you like tabletop, you may find this quite a good game to have. So if you've got a PSP, go find the demo, put it on your stick, give it a go. If you can't find the demo online...
If you can't find the demo online, get a better search engine, you knob.
Exactly. Or just leave a note on the post onto this episode, and I'll hear that and I will put a link up for it. Because I think I can remember where the website is, but not at this moment. I was quite impressed with that. It is one of the three games I've got for my PSP at the moment.
What other games have you got?
Wipeout Pulse.
Well, hey, Wipeout. Thumbs up.
Yeah,
very good. Does it suck, though? Have they made it lame?
No, they've introduced the zone feature a lot more now. And instead of before where you just had one vehicle for the zone level, each of the teams that make the vehicles for Wipeout all have their own zone vehicle. Because the zone is where everything's white. It's like a virtual reality of the tracks. And the idea is your pilot gets to fly as fast as he wants. And every time he makes a lap, it gets faster and faster and faster. And you just keep going until you blow your ship up. But because it's in virtual reality, the aim of the game is to go as fast as you can until you blow up. Where the aim of the game on the other levels is not to actually blow up. So they give a reason for why you would want to go that fast until you die. Because it's a virtual reality and you're not going to die. So it's being able to control the ship, and you have no accelerator button on those ones. It's how like your accelerator button is flat to the floor, and you're just going faster and faster. You've got like on that one, you've got all the different, you know, standard tracks, fastest lap, time lap, and zone. As well as one thing quite cool, you can go onto the actual official website and paint up skins for all the different model cars and then download them onto your PSP and play with those ones, as well as you can make a Wipeout folder on your stick in your music section for your MP3s, and you can dump up to at least 30 MP3s in this folder, and you can listen to those MP3s as a custom track while playing the game.
That sounds like a new revolutionary and innovative feature.
Handheld, yeah, but not on games consoles.
My pocket PC.
Yeah, true.
Age of Empires, I just replaced the music files with whatever I want.
I was quite impressed with that. And the other one I got, Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops, which I'm going to do a review on probably next week.
Whoopee, we will look forward to that.
Yeah.
Get your dwarf to level 40.
Yeah,
get yourself a mount, you nub.
Oh, dear. If you're wondering what the whole nub stuff is, Paul's been loading some stuff onto YouTube. Of these videos that Chris has found, and it is amusing to say the least. It was one of them where it's offline gaming, so it's this whole video of people playing massive multiplayer games, and it's what would happen.
Let's just go to the. We'll just take a little clip out of this. Just give a second to load.
But yeah, it's what would people do with the events that happen in normal, like Warcraft? What would happen if they brought it into the real world and people started acting like they're doing Warcraft?
Yeah, just search for World of Offline Gaming. This is a really funny video.
But is this going to be a clip here?
A world of equipment envy. Possessing superior equipment in games is representative of one's status. So players seen with lower quality equipment are often looked down on and even mocked by other players with more elite equipment.
Stay off the road, you noob!
So that was one guy walking in, guy on a scooter.
Call that a riot, you noob!
That guy's on a skateboard and he was on a scooter.
Get yourself an epic car, you noob!
That guy was in an epic car and ran over a guy on a skateboard.
The online gaming community is filled with newbie players who are too lazy to earn their own start and will congregate at populated areas and shamelessly beg veteran players for money and superior equipment.
Hey man, can I get a few bucks to grab a bus
no.
of Algrima, please? Come on man,
no.
dude, just a few bucks.
No!
Can you grab a bus to Algrima, that's all.
Get
please,
away from
please.
Me!
Please, come on man.
I said, get away
bucks.
From
come
me,
on,
you noob!
One of the things they did, and it was quite funny, is the idea of weapons was blowing bubbles in one guy's. Blowing bubbles and attacking someone is like, no, you want to get this, and he's got this like bubble gun that fires out loads and loads
this
of
this is good camping at resurrection points and just like beating up people.
A world of ganking. Brutality has no limits in the gaming world, and higher level players will often mercilessly hunt down lower level players, even to the point of waiting at their resurrection areas just to be able to bully them over and over again.
You got owned, bitch.
Then outside the hospital.
Oh my god, I owned you again.
So this bit's just kind of taking the piss out of the fact of people who hone people at their respawning point. So it's got this guy continually coming out of the hospital, and this guy's coming out and beating the crap out of him.
Man, I can't even come up with anything witty to say anymore. You suck.
Do you like bubbles? Why do you like them bubbles, bitch?
And the rest of his guild come and protect him, and they all beat him up at the end.
No!
It's quite a good video. I think it's quite funny in fact.
Yeah, there were a couple of some level 7 orcs down in Shadowform Vale the other day. I was there down there with my level 40. Night off, dude. They turned their PvP on, so that was it. My PvP's going on, and then I just stood there and pwned them for about 10 minutes. Then I caught them trying to run off somewhere. But because I was a hunter, I could train. Eventually, their PvP just turned off. My 5 minutes of fun were out.
Yeah.
You dad, you nub. Well, that's the best part of the game, and there was a level 70 Tauren Warrior. In Refuge Point the other day.
Mm.
So, way higher level than everyone else around there, who were mostly level 30s and 40s. And, we just kept poning it because there were 10 of us there. We could take them on. And although we suffer a few casualties, we don't race back and then all stand around his body waiting for him to resurrect and then kill him again. Eat that, you level 70 nub.
Yeah, because when he resurrects, he's in half mana, or if he's got any magical powers, in half health, so he's trying to heal himself.
But yeah, and every time he's trying to run a bit further and further away. And he was just slowly creeping across the map every time he died.
I guess he wished he hadn't done it.
Either, you know. No, it's a lot of fun, actually. I like that.
Yeah.
That's where it's at, man.
Damn right.
Anyway, that's this show for this week, unless Adam has any last minute thing to say.
Nope, the only thing I'd say is go check out Warhammer Online and see what's coming. It's got a while to come yet, so you've still got plenty of time to play WoW.
Wow.
But yeah, apart from that, not much. I played online the Might and Magic new game, that first person one they've got.
Might and Magic.
Played demo of that online. That was quite good. I'm quite impressed with that. Not as good graphically as Oblivion, but as a style game, I was quite impressed with it. Also had a go at Devil May Cry 4.
Oblivion's nearly 2 years old.
Yeah, Devil May Cry 4, yeah, it's great, but I'm not going to buy it. And I had a go at Torque. Well, what can we say? It's Torque. It's got dinosaurs.
Turok. It's a dinosaur man.
And the main character is played by the guy who does the voice and plays...
So hang on, we haven't finished this flipping show at all, but you're still talking about loads of things. Turok. What else did you say?
Devil May Cry 4 and... the... what's it called? A Might and Magic game called... beginning to be or something like that.
I just put Might and Magic thing.
But yeah, no, I quite like
that. Yeah, this
show
is really over. Adam's going to talk about three more games now.
But yeah, Torque. It's dinosaurs. It's crap. It may be great, but yeah.
So these are the demos you've played, yeah?
Yeah, these are the demos on Xbox Live, so go have a look at those. See what you think.
Devil May Cry, any good?
I've never played any of the other Devil May Crys because it was on Sony.
They mainly suck, don't they?
Yeah.
Does it still feel like a scabby PS2 game?
The character moves like a scabby PS2 game, but the graphics look like really cool PS3. Not PS3.
PS3, that's bad.
Xbox 360. The environment looks amazing, but it's just kind of like...
So the animation's poor.
Yeah, but if you were a big fan of any of them, you're not going to notice and you're going to like it. It's just going to look amazing. To be honest, if you've never played Devil May Cry and you've like everybody's ramped and raved about it before and you're really going to go out and buy this, trust me, go download the demo because you may be disappointed.
Devil May Noob.
Yeah. But, yeah. Some good demos out at the moment.
Get yourself an epic car, you nub.
Right, we'll catch you guys next week.
We definitely next Sunday.
What's happening next Sunday?
Work.
I'm going up to Newport.
So not next Sunday.
As far as I'm aware, I should be back in time.
Okay, but if the show isn't up Sunday, that means Adam has got lost.
But yeah,
and
no.
We have to find Adam so he can do the show.
I think we're going out shopping on Saturday, so we're coming back. Yeah, we're coming back Sunday lunchtime. So yeah, we will be back in time because obviously I've got to get ready for work and stuff. So yeah, we will be back as normal next week because I'm going shopping. I'm going to Forbidden Planet in Cardiff. Yay. I've got any bloody money. Right, so we'll see you guys next week. We promise.
I don't promise anything. I promise as terms and conditions apply. Blah blah blah.
Blah 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 blah. US 20 quid. Catch you guys later.